Our Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 37, beginning in verse 15. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take a stick and write on it for Judah and the people of Israel associated with him. Then take another stick and write on it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel associated with him. And join them one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, will you not tell us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am about to take the stick of Joseph that is in the hand of Ephraim and the tribes of Israel associated with him, and I will join it with the stick of Judah and make them one stick, that they may be one in my hand. When the sticks on which you write are in your hand before their eyes, then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the people of Israel from the nations among which they have gone, and will gather them from all around, and bring them to their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no longer two nations, and no longer divided into two kingdoms. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. This ends our Old Testament reading. We turn now to the book of the letter to Titus. Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2. Beginning in verse 11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you. The word of the Lord. A people zealous for good deeds. Doing good. Good deeds. These days, that often means relief work. And that's good. Helping the people who are sick, giving food to the starving, creating suitable housing for the poor. Last February, you'll recall the devastating earthquake that hit Christchurch, New Zealand, that city, that town in New Zealand. It was enormously devastating, not because of the size of the quake. It was only a 6.3 quake on the Richter scale, whereas the quake in Japan was a 9.0, so you can see there was a massive difference between them. But it was devastating because this town was at the center of it, and it happened right in the middle of the day when people were in business or doing their normal activities. Tall buildings and churches were knocked down, and many people were trapped underneath the rubble. The city was in shambles. As reports began coming in, people from around the world rushed to the scene to help. Others who couldn't get there also tried to help. Russell Crowe, the actor, offered his help and appealed for aid on the public in the public media. The Christian organization Youth with a Mission organized teams of plumbers, electricians, builders, and engineers to go in. Students at a school filled a 37 cubic meter shipping container, one of those big shipping containers you see on the back of trucks or being offloaded from ships onto trains. They filled it with emergency items and sent it to the people in Christchurch. Singapore, Japan, Britain, and the United States sent search and rescue teams to find people who were trapped. Others from many nations sent food and water and medicine and medical personnel. Google launched a person finder application on its website. The Church of the Latter-day Saints, otherwise known as the Mormons, provided food for students at a high school that had been damaged. The Greek Orthodox Church sent financial contributions to help those in need. All kinds of people, not just Christians, worked to relieve the people of Christchurch. And that's good. It's good to help people who are in need. It is good to have a community-mindedness and want, and not just to think individually. Banks, car companies, restaurants, retail shops have made doing good a plank in their business. You probably know better than I do the push at work to give to charities and the team efforts to build a house or to run for a cure. About once a year, I go to a Salvation Army shop in Grand Rapids to buy t-shirts. That's not the only reason I go. It wouldn't be very economically feasible. But I go over there once a year, and when I do, I go to this shop and I look for their t-shirts because I've found that this store has a very nice selection of t-shirts. Each one for a dollar. You can't beat that. Some of the shirts have never been worn. Of course, I look for those. I prefer those. And many of them were for some cause sponsored by a company. And you'll see rows and rows of the shirts stacked together. They're all the same kind with some company name on them and some slogan. Many of them were for a cause sponsored by a company. One shirt that I have has the name Pfizer on it, the famous company Pfizer. And it says, "Community volunteer, we love where we live." And that's good, isn't it? Colleges want to see a history of volunteer service on students' applications. Students who not only show a breadth of experience, but who also look beyond themselves and want to help other people. Colleges are interested in that. They are looking for those kinds of students. And it's good for our students to learn to help other people and not just think about themselves. Our scripture lesson tells us of Jesus Christ who makes a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. These good deeds, however, are more than relief work. The letter to Titus is talking about the moral conduct of each person. Moral conduct is a subject that begins in the letter of Titus and continues all the way through it. Earlier in the letter, the leaders of the church are told not to be arrogant, quick-tempered, drunkards, violent, greedy for gain. The members of the church are not to have minds muddled with what is false or be slanderers, argumentative, pilferers, insubordinate. Instead, the leaders, we are told in Titus, are to be above reproach, hospitable, lovers of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined, minds sound in the teaching of the gospel. And the members of the church are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, love, and endurance, pure, kind, and submissive. Good behavior. Behavior that is pleasing to God. Relief work is easy compared to good moral conduct. You can be personally, morally reprehensible and still dig people out of a pile of rubble and put food on a plate. Muammar Gaddafi promised millions of dollars to help countries in the Caribbean, certain countries there who had tremendous needs. And he offered, and I don't know if the money was ever sent, but he offered it, and I wouldn't be surprised if it was sent to help these countries. But he also sent agents to blow up commercial airplanes full of civilians. Joseph Stalin built apartments for common people in the cities of the country. But he executed anyone who resisted him, and he exiled millions of people to the gulags. huge relief projects can be done while the world is morally defiled. The world is full of people who steal from each other, who lie, who abandon their spouses and families, who murder, who use other people for their pleasure, who ignore the poor, who gun down unarmed civilians, cheat on others, and so on. The world is a morally decrepit place. God has done more than give us relief. He has intervened to save the world. In verse 11 in our reading, it says, "For the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation for all the people." For all people. Notice that word "for" at the beginning of the sentence. "For the grace of God appeared." It indicates that this explains what was said earlier about the members of the church demonstrating good behavior and making the gospel attractive to those outside the church. The reason for the church's good deeds, verse 11 says, is because God has manifested his salvation for all people, not just those inside the church. God's grace has appeared like the light of dawn breaking out in the morning. That's the language that is used in Titus. Appeared, manifested. God's salvation in Jesus Christ shines out to the whole world. This verse is about the grace of God for the world. And that's why the church needs to be concerned about those outside the church. In other words, why the church needs to be concerned and its behavior is not just for itself internally, but for those outside the church. God has acted for the whole world. He is interested not just in you and me and us in our little enclave of the church, but he's interested in making the world morally right again. And God did this by sending his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness, says our text. God has acted. Jesus said of himself in the Gospel of Mark, "The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the language in our text in Titus. We have the language of the Old Testament about what God did for Israel. God acted to redeem the people of Israel from Egypt. He came and he freed them from their bondage to the power of Pharaoh. And he made them his own people, giving them his law so that they would be his holy people. In the days of Israel's exile, the Lord spoke of ransoming them again. This time, he would ransom them from their sin. And Psalm 130 says, "He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." In the book of Ezekiel that we heard, that section, that text we heard read this morning, the Lord promises, "They shall not defile themselves anymore with their idols and their detestable things or with any other transgressions. But I will save them from all the backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God." Titus is using that language from Ezekiel. Titus uses that language that says, and he says, the book, letter of Titus says that God has done this in Jesus Christ. Notice the change in the tense of the verb. In Ezekiel, it's "he will do it." In Titus, "he has done it." The letter of Titus says Jesus Christ gave himself to redeem us. Jesus Christ frees us from all wickedness and from the inclinations of this fallen world, like living for yourself instead of others. That's not how God created us to be. That's one of the inclinations of a fallen world. It's a strong desire in this world to live for ourselves only. There's that tragic case of Casey Anthony that's been in the news so much these past few weeks, who was found not guilty of killing her daughter because the state could not prove its case beyond a reasonable doubt. And even though the verdict came out in her favor, the reports were of a woman who preferred partying with her friends than caring for her daughter. Jesus frees us from such worldly passions. God has acted in Christ to redeem us, and he has done so for a purpose. There's a purpose to why God has redeemed us. The purpose is to make for himself a people who are zealous to do good. A people eager for good deeds. In other words, God makes fanatics for good deeds. Some people say that we Christians are fanatics. Well, yes, we are. not fanatics for terror and worldly passion, but fanatics for good. Enthusiastic, frenzied, on fire, never quitting, fervent, sold out fanatics for doing good. God has showed us and told us what is good. He's revealed it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good of loving our neighbor and caring for others more than ourselves. It's the good of helping people to stop hurting themselves and destroying themselves. It's the good of overcoming sin with forgiveness. It's that kind of good. God's goal includes filling the world with good deeds, not bad ones. According to His purpose, God creates a people who are zealous for good deeds. And again, in our reading, in our text from Titus, the language of Israel is applied to us, to the church. A people of His own, it says. Well, that's exactly what God said about Israel. This is what God called Israel. We can read it in Deuteronomy and Exodus. And now Titus appropriates, or Paul writing to Titus, appropriates that language for the new people of God in Jesus Christ. That's what he calls us, a people of his own. It's not enough just to tell people to do good or to appeal to their better instincts. God must create a people zealous for good deeds. A few years ago, there was that slogan, at least I began to hear it a few years ago, called Pay It Forward. Have you heard that slogan? Pay It Forward. A movie was even made about it. That might be why you know it. A movie was made called Pay It Forward. Pay It Forward is a simple plan to change the world by doing good. And I got this from a website, officially designated the Pay It Forward website. Step one of the plan, be attentive wherever you are for opportunities to help someone. Perhaps you have an elderly or disabled neighbor who is too proud to ask for help with their yard work, or maybe you're in a restaurant and you see someone who looks like they could use some kind stranger to pay for their meal. Pay It Forward says you can change people's attitudes about the world through your unobtrusive acts of kindness. Step two. Do something nice for someone you don't know, or you don't know very well. It should be something significant and not for a person from whom you expect a good deed in return. Or if you expect anything from them, that's not the person you should do it to. I mean, I'm sure they would say it's good to be nice to them too. But look for someone you don't know, you don't think is going to repay it, and do something good for them. Now, it's a nice plan, but it doesn't address the sin and evil in us and in this world. God doesn't try to get ungodly people to do good. He makes us a new, purified people in Christ, and He works within us by His Spirit, changing our hearts and minds. Now, we Protestants can get a bit edgy about our good deeds and the gospel. This is one of the reasons we're Protestants. We have reacted against the theology that has said that our good deeds, enabled by grace, justify us before God. It's all God's grace by which we are saved, not our good deeds. Our good deeds do not figure into that in terms of our being saved or being justified with God. In fact, our good deeds are never good enough to make us right with God. Rather, our good deeds, which are pleasing to God, are a result of the gospel. God's grace works first, and then our good deeds follow. If we are not careful in our theology, good deeds can become a second thought for us. Personal apathy can set in. We will do good when we get around to it, and somehow we never get around to it. Or a worldly pessimism can set in. The world is too far gone for us to do any good. We should just be concerned about ourselves, do good for ourselves. Well, that doesn't come from the gospel. God did not decide that the world was too far gone so that He did not send His Son into the world. Thinking this way, we're missing the point of God's salvation in Christ, according to Titus, which is to make a people zealous for good deeds and so to fill the world with good deeds. Having made us a people of His own in Christ, God is training us to do good. The Christian life is a life lived as God's children. He teaches us like a father working with his children, disciplining and educating them in how to live. Like a home where children learn what is right and what is wrong and do it under the tutelage of their parents. Well, God's training is twofold. God trains us to say no to ungodliness and wickedness. And what he trains us to do is to live upright, godly, gospel-minded lives in this present age. And we never outgrow God's training of us. It starts when we are young, like little Natalie, who will be baptized in a moment. And her parents will take vows about training her in the Lord and praying for her and all that. And the church will also take a vow to that effect. But even as we grow older, God continues to train us. He continues to train us to do good our whole life. So every one of us sitting in this room who believes in Jesus Christ is being trained by God to do good. And you will be to the end of your life. Now, someone will say, people who do not have faith in Jesus Christ do good deeds also. There are those who are honest in their dealings with others, who are humble, who live temperate, self-controlled lives, and they're not Christians. They try to avoid what is bad, and this is all true, and it's good. I am glad that those people are trying to live that way. The connection between the good that Christians do and the non-Christians, what they do, can be seen in Titus itself. It actually is there in this letter. Biblical scholars have observed that there's a resemblance between, there's actually Paul is actually using moral words that were common in the Hellenistic culture. And so he uses some of those descriptions and attitudes that he uses, that moral language, he uses it in Titus. And it was the moral ideal, a lot of it was the moral ideal in the Hellenistic, the Greek and Roman culture. Be self-controlled, upright, lovers of the good. These were virtues in the Greek world. You can read them in the Greek writers. As well as the idea of training, that word that comes up in our text. The Greeks and Romans talked about paideia, which is the Greek word in our text for training or disciplinary instruction. And so some have concluded that the letter to Titus is just repeating what all morally concerned people already know. In other words, the good deeds of Christians do not always look that different than the good deeds of other people, what they do, and it's all really the same. Now, the similarity is because God created this world and He gave it moral order. So the good that people do will generally look the same. If it's good, it's good. The difference is the reason. The difference is the reason for the good deeds that Christians do. The reason is what makes the good deeds God's people do different from the general good deeds that other people do in this world. Christians do good deeds because of what God has done in Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good deeds. Other people have their reasons. We Christians do good because God makes us zealous for good deeds. That's why we're doing it. The good deeds that Christians do is part of God's goal for this world in Jesus Christ. Go out into this world and do good. Not just one or two good deeds a day. Go out and wildly do good. Everywhere you go, wherever you can, do good. Every chance you get. When you see it, do it. Drop the excuses for doing nothing. Leave off the justifications for doing what is ungodly. Be enthusiastic for good because God has made you His beloved people and He will fill this world with good through Jesus Christ. Let us pray.